Now, we were not able to talk to you last week, and I know one of the things, you're busy last week, and one of the things that you did basically is talk to reporters about what's going to happen if in fact the Burwell decision strikes down some components in Obamacare. Kind of share with us what you talked to them about.
Well, basically what I did is I laid out the principles for what should happen next. Let me break it into two pieces. First of all, three pieces. First of all, when King versus Burwell, let me rephrase that. If King versus Burwell is ruled in favor of King, that means the subsidies will go away in 34 states. And at that point in time, that will basically cause the collapse of Obamacare within a few months. So the next thing you've got to look at is what is the alternative to Obamacare for an American healthcare system? And some of us, like those of us in the Republican Study Committee, have put forth an alternative that's a patient-centered solution that relies on free market principles and competition to provide better access and lower healthcare costs. Now, the third part is what is the transition from the termination of Obamacare, the failure of Obamacare, to the new alternative? And that's where we don't have much agreement. I think we all agree in principle on what the replacement ought to look like, the alternative. And where we have some differences of opinion is on the transition. And here's what I've told the reporters with respect to the transition. The first thing is that the cost of the transition program, whatever it is, should be paid for within the existing cost of Obamacare. In other words, the taxpayer should not be on the hook for an additional dime of increased cost. The second thing is that we need to get rid of the individual mandate. The third is we need to get rid of the employer mandate. So those are the principal things we're looking to see in the transition from a positive, the right decision on King versus Burwell to the transition to our alternative. One of the things that has come up recently is the amount of transition time that should exist. In talking with the insurance companies, they have said it would take them about 2 years to be able to move to a new system because they basically had to to totally change their business models in light of Obamacare and all of the exchanges. So you have to give them some time to transition back to a free market system.
Bill Flores joining us from D.C. As concisely as you can, obviously you're speaking from a national platform there about it, but people in Texas want to know what's going to happen here. Texas is not bought into this yet, so what happens on this King-Burwell decision, and how does it impact Texans?
Well, there are a number of people that lost their health care coverage and because of Obamacare, despite the president's promises that you'd be able to keep their health care plan and be able to keep their doctor. They've also incurred significantly higher costs than what they did before. If the Supreme Court rules for King and King versus Burwell, then the subsidies that are helping some of those folks take care of their higher costs will go away. And so what we have to try to do, and when I say we Congress, need to come up with a transition so that they are not hurt because of the president's health care law and the ultimate failure of that law. Now, some people have proposed tax credits, some people have proposed subsidies, some are proposing different tax deduction to try to offset those costs. We're going to have to come up with that solution in a fairly quick time frame to be able to deal with that. But we need to wait and see what the ruling is of the Supreme Court first. But it's going to, the combination of the implementation of Obamacare by Congress and the president and the ultimate failure of Obamacare because of the flawed status that the court's going to rule on, is going to hurt millions of Americans, and it's going to hurt several hundred thousand Texans. Congress needs to step in there and deal with that. So, because this happened through no fault of those families that wound up being forced to get onto a crappy healthcare system.
Bill Flores joining us from D.C. Does Congress have the will to actually pass war authorization? Today the House is going to vote on whether or not the president should take those troops out of Iraq and Syria. Going to be some debate there, but tell us how you feel about this.
Well, it's here's the problem is the president inspires no trust among most of us in Congress. Even among his own party, he's not trusted. Look at the vote that he had last week on trade. And so the challenge we get into in Congress is if we grant him war powers, then none of us trust him to carry it out the way that Congress wants it carried out. He is the commander-in-chief under the Constitution. He has sole authority to the way that, war is executed. We have the sole right to grant him those powers. But nobody trusts him. I mean, the Middle East is an absolute basket case, and he and Secretary Clinton have their fingerprints all over all those failures. And so that's the challenge we get into. We know that we need to stop the rise of the Islamic State in the Middle East. We know that that's got to be done. But yet we don't trust the president to do it. So I can't tell you what the ultimate answer is going to be on this issue. The resolution that we're going to debate today and vote upon is one to remove all troops from the Middle East. I think that will fail. I believe that we will probably continue to muddle along in this uncertain state that we have by having troops in the Middle East. The president still has a War Powers Act, War Powers authorities that granted to that were originally granted to President Bush back in 2001. And I think we'll just muddle along because it's hard to come up with a clear sense of direction how to deal with a rising enemy and a president that you don't trust.
Bill Flores joining us from D.C. Again, didn't get a chance to talk to you last week, but I'd like for you to flesh out, if you will, your position on the Ex-Im Bank has changed from what it was before. Story in the Houston Chronicle over the weekend said some 1,500 companies and over $3 billion in business has been done in Texas because of Ex-Im Bank. So why is it that you're opposed to that now when you weren't before?
Well, those numbers come from the Ex-Im Bank, and the Ex-Im Bank is about the same as the accounting firms that work for Enron. There's a lot of double counting and triple counting of the economic impact, and what they're trying to do is trying to prove their value when really they've only benefited a small number of large corporations that could otherwise find financing for exports on their own. So I wouldn't get too stirred up about the numbers. Now, the reason I changed my position is I felt like before, when I voted for Ex-Im, for Ex-Im reauthorization, that the bank would actually incorporate the reforms that Congress mandated that they incorporate. Instead, they just blew us off. And the Ex-Im Bank has a very corrupt culture. You've got dozens of folks that have been indicted for bad behavior. You've had $250 million of fines that have been levied. You've got decades of jail time that that these folks are exposed to. And I just don't think it's fixable. I think the culture is so broken and corrupt that it's got to die. And then I think what we need to do in Congress is come up with the things that businesses really care about for economic opportunity. Number one is we've got to have tax reform. We need to have reg reform, litigation reform, trade. We need to have trade agreements where both sides can compete freely and fairly, and also where we take away the sovereign financial, and it's like Ex-Im, where neither side can use those. We also need to look at immigration reform. These are the things that American businesses really want. If you do those things, then you don't need to have a sovereign financial unit like Ex-Im that is totally corrupt.
Bill Flores joins the Post every Wednesday. You can hear the interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Appreciate the time this morning.
You bet. Great to talk to you, Scott. I'd ask your listeners to continue praying for our country, our military men and women, and our first responders. By the way, I hope everybody stays dry.
Well, you hope so. Thank you, sir.